Hey guys, welcome back to another episode of Tatro Radio. This is Joseph again. Today we have a call-in show clip for you guys, but not just any call-in show clip. Today we have a Bo Shuda call-in. So Bo Shuda called in, asked a lot of really interesting questions. So I just kept the entire clip together and it covers kind of a few different points. So you're going to want to listen. I think it's some questions that a lot of people have for Tatro and just about music production in general. But before we get into it, I just want to remind everyone again, last week, big week for Tatro releases. He released a new track under Tatro. The Spotify link for that will be down below in the description. And he also released a song under FaceX, his first FaceX original song. So you're definitely going to want to check that out if you have not yet. Spotify link for that is down below as well. But he also released a music video for Ghost Me by FaceX. So I will put the link to the YouTube video of the music video with the Spotify link down below. Make sure you check all that out. But let's get into the clip.
Hello, John Emery. How's it going?
Bo Shuda in the house.
Bo Shuda in the house.
So great to meet you, man. So great to be here.
So great to have you, man. Thank you for calling in. Is this our first time like talking like this, right?
This is it. This is the initial meeting.
Amazing. Well, thank you for always being so supportive and energetic in the chat.
Yeah, I love your stream, man. I love what you do. Ooh, I got the jitters right now a little bit.
Nice. Going up. Awesome. Well, thank you for all those nice words.
Yeah, I have a couple questions for you. I mean, it's so amazing to hear your story now in this caller show that you're doing. I went to music school myself, and I played the saxophone and kind of like very similar trajectory as you kind of coming up and everything, because I remember going to when I was in high school and everything, like my high school band director was like a really big music technology enthusiast and everything like that, and like got us into MIDI and everything.
Yeah.
But it was interesting when I went away to college, I went to this school that was like really focused on like jazz, commercial music, you know, kind of like the classical thing.
Of course.
But like all the instrumental music teachers would like look down on the kids who were like messing around in Ableton and everything.
Welcome to my life.
Yeah. In the recording studio, in the recording arts program and everything. Cause it's just like, oh, well, they're just effing around on their MIDI controllers and making beats on their laptops rather than like practicing their instruments and everything.
Meanwhile, they can barely get by because they're adjunct professors. They don't even have full-time gigs and they're trying to figure out how to make a living based on their little esoteric, like ambient or orchestral things that they can't even get played at a concert hall.
Yeah, man. And like, that's the thing is like, I fought it, you know, I wouldn't say that I fought the technology. I tried to embrace it as much as I could, but I kind of went the path of like, I'm going to try to fit the model of the old model of like, I want to be a studio saxophone player, woodwind player, et cetera. I played in orchestras. I did all that stuff. And, you know, I did it for as long as I could, but after about 5 years and like doing a Broadway tour and everything and sitting in the pit and then like hearing the third piano player and being like, wow, I could outplay this person on the keys. Like, why don't I just do that?
Yeah.
Like, why don't I do something that allows me to like grow and adapt to the modern world of making music? And I look at somebody like you and you've, you know, even compared to 4 years ago, the videos that you were making then when you were like just in a bedroom or something like that.
Dude, cringe, you know? Cringe. I can't even think about it.
Well, I like to go back and like see where you really came from.
Yeah, it's so important.
Like, yeah. So like, you know, I'm looking at upgrading my setup now and I'm not going to talk about gear and stuff and all that boring stuff, but like, I wanted to ask you, like, what was it that inspired you to really go this direction, to take the plunge, to invest in, you know, building a better studio, to do all the research for the visual technology? Cause I know that you're very into the visuals and everything. And, you know, how do you weigh the risk versus reward? I know you moved to Los Angeles. So just talk about that for a little bit.
Yeah, that's a big one. Well, I think the thing about what I was just talking about with the previous call, about being laser focused on not just like being a musician, not just having it for a hobby, but generating an income with it. The thing about that laser focus was, as I did start to generate an income with it, I consistently just reinvested. Obviously, I, you know,
thought about how do I pay bills or whatever. And that's where like having a full-time job in conjunction with starting to do content and being a musician came very handy. Because anything I generated in addition to my full-time job pays the main bills. Anything I generate with music goes back into music, right? With that laser focus came like, you just have to, as you try things, you have to be very honest with yourself about what success looks like and what sustainable success looks like. So like I could make videos, sure, but if my videos never got any traction, it would not make sense for me to continue to invest in equipment and continue to invest in like that side of things, right? But I was seeing a success. I was seeing like some traction on the YouTube channel. So I did buy a camera instead of just using my Android phone to put to make videos, you know? Like I did make that upgrade and I did consistently see rewards from the upgrade. Higher quality content, more audience members, et cetera, et cetera. And then brands start reaching out. So like I was seeing markers of success and I was also gauging like my happiness level and my workload at the same time, because it's not just about money with success. It's about like, are you actually happy in life? So making content, connecting with a community from around the world, sharing knowledge, that was all making me happy. And it also started generating revenue. And at a certain point, it got to a point where I had the opportunity to do more of this creative work and leave the full-time job. And when I realized that this was a good moment to exit the full-time job and take on a new opportunity, yes, it felt like a risk. But what I've found over time is that every time I agonize over taking a risk or take a plunge into something new, it always somehow works out. And I don't think that it's necessarily luck. But I think it's just that like when you do take a plunge and you do like step off the diving board, whatever analogy you want, you make it work. Like if you have a safety net, you will always rely on the safety net. But if you take an actual plunge, you have to survive after taking that plunge, you survive. It's like sink or swim, you know? So I've always had that sink or swim mentality. It's like, okay, going into freelance world, this is very scary. This is not me getting the same paycheck month after month. This is not me getting my pension anymore. This is like, I'm going to have to actively get money somehow to live. But once I didn't have the safety net of the job anymore, and once I went full freelance, I started building things for myself to make sure that I had income. And I make sure to stack opportunities so that if certain opportunities go away, that there's enough left over that doesn't break the whole thing, you know? Like, I don't want it to be like Jenga, where if one block gets pulled out, the whole thing collapses. No, if one block pulls out, I'll survive and I'll go on to the next thing or I'll look for a new thing. So it's always been about that, sink or swim. And it's just like, being reality. And it's also about being extra cautious. Like, let me stack up this Jenga thing so that it's super stable so that you could remove like five different blocks and I could still survive somehow, you know? But it is all about like taking those risks and having there is fear, but I also had the reality check with myself. It's like, bro, every time you have this fear and you do something, it works out fine. Every time you move into an apartment that's a little more expensive that you didn't know if you could afford, somehow you figured out how to afford it. You know, like it just works. So I'm like overly cautious and the voices in my head, it's not like devil and angel. It's like super worried, cautious voice. And then like super confident, you'll figure it out, just do it voice. It's just always happened.
Yeah, that's awesome. I mean, and for you, it's kind of been like stage by stage, because like I mentioned 4 years ago, watching those videos, you know, and you, whatever small amount of traction that you were getting at a time, it was something I feel like you had a passion for and that you went for. It is totally scary when you start off new and you're kind of just searching through the dark and everything, trying to figure out, well, will this work? Will Twitch be a good platform for me, et cetera, et cetera. Can you comment on that a little bit?
It's just all about experimenting and trying what works. Like I do a lot of creative strategy work now too. So because based on everything I learned about doing this stuff, like I can get hired to help do it for other people, I guess. And what people don't focus on is like, okay, what does success look like? And especially for businesses, like if you're spending money on social media, if you're spending money on whatever, like you have to define what success looks like. You can't just do it because it feels good from a business perspective. You have to also do like what actually works business wise. So like that's like, I've always just been focused on like, what, like, is this actually working? Like, does this kind of content actually get viewers, or do I just feel good doing it? Now, can I do both? Can I do content that I just feel good doing and then separate content that also does well to support that content? Yes. But can I also work to find the Venn diagram of like what's in between those two things? You know, like that's always what I've been shuffling between, is like what actually works. Like, and like literally, like so many people avoid their own financial situation. Like they don't pay attention to like, where's my income coming from? Or like, I guess for a lot of people, it's not as complicated, but for me, my income comes from so many different places because I'm a freelancer. So I have to like actually look at the numbers and say like, where is all this coming from? What is most of it coming from? Like what's actually working. So I'm not pretending that something's working that's not, you know what I mean?
Yeah, absolutely. And the whole thing of like managing what people want to see versus what you want to do, I guess is a big thing. And like focusing on where you're going to take your content as well as defining what success looks like. I mean, you live in Los Angeles, that's notoriously the city of, where image is the most important thing.
Sure.
You know, but I've seen you grow over the years. You know, you're working on your fashion. You're kind of developing your own style. Like, I don't know anybody on YouTube who does what you do. So like, what was kind of the voice that like led you in that direction?
I've just always, like, some people don't care about aesthetics and don't care about how things look. And that's fine. Like, just you do you. It doesn't have to. Like, I know lots of channels out there that are shot, like, especially in the non-music space, a lot of channels are shot like with like janky cameras, but they have really entertaining content still. And I think it's great. But for me, like, I've always loved movies probably way more than I've loved music. And I mean, like, watching the same movies over and over again, watching directors' commentaries, learning about the behind the scenes, like how the movie was made, listening to interviews with directors of photography. So I've always cared about that stuff way more. I am a big Alien fan. But the thing is, like, I hated filming videos when I first started. But then when I realized that it somehow connected to my interest in, like, I'm not going to call what I do cinematography. It's not cinematography, but it's like paying attention to the visuals and framing and stuff like that. And that is different than just doing music. But I realized that I love those things. So, like, aesthetic, fashion, like that all stuff really matters to me. And I really love those things. So if I can at any point combine all those things in my content, I'm going to do it. But it's because I love it. It's not just for show. Like, it's literally because I love it. So I don't want people to think like, oh, I got to make videos that look like this, or I have to dress a certain way, or I have to look a certain way. You don't. I just do it because I love it.
Yeah. Well, very cool to meet you, man. Very cool to get to pick your brain a little bit and bounce some ideas off of you. I love hearing your story. I love being part of the community and everything. Hey, I say we get a Discord going or something. I'm not sure if there already is one, but
there actually is a Discord, and it is for members. So if you become a member at any tier, you get access to the Discord.
Got to throw it on for that membership.
Exactly. All
right, so good to talk to you, Tatro.
Thank you for talking. Hey, you have a great radio voice. You should do a podcast or something if you don't already.
Thank you. I'm working on it. Bo-shooter.
Bo-shooter out. Thank you so much for calling in, man. Appreciate it.
Yeah, my pleasure.
Have a good one.
And that is going to be it for today. Some really great questions from Bo-shooter. And of course, we love the energy he came in with on that one. It was really great. But I mentioned at the beginning about the new FaceX and Tatro songs that were released this past week, so make sure you check those out. And also, before I go, controlfreakclub.com, hoodies, t-shirts, mugs, stickers, anything you need, buy it, take a picture of yourself with it, post it on Instagram, tag Tatro, he loves to see it. And also, just check out the perks of becoming a member. We will have a new Tatro sample pack coming out soon, and when that comes out, if you are a VIP member or above, you will get it for free. So just check out the rest of the perks of becoming a member. A lot of cool things there, but I will see you guys in the live streams.